All right, so you're scared of dying. But tell me, is the kind of life you lead really any different from being dead? A quote from Seneca. Dig. All right, it's the final show of our first season, Rastaman. One Love Sports Show. And we're winding down with, as most sports are, but last weekend in the UFC, how did that turn out?
The fight between Cowboy did not
Yes,
really happen because it was canceled.
right. And I think that's the
But the
second time
card,
it's canceling.
yeah. But overall in the UFC, like it was just, I won't say average, but it was just a good, it's a good show overall. The only person that really got that upset was Calvin Cater. And that was actually a huge upset, but mean that it was by decision and it was like a split decision, it could have gone either way. Yeah. But Kevin Holland, as usual, put on a show, showed his level of submission, which a lot of people underestimate, because he's known as a striker and he struggles with wrestling. So he really showed that his game is improving. Still the trash, still one of the best trash talkers in the UFC. I'm one of the most entertaining guys actually.
Happy that, well, I was not disappointed because the Cater fight, I lost out there. My prediction there, but guess it's one of those things. Yes, every now and again you get these surprises in the UFC, and they happen even more often than in other sporting events, because that's what makes the UFC so interesting and engaging. But let's move on to previews. And in previews, we start with our 2-minute drills. Your roundup from soccer leagues across the world.
Yeah, Lance, we're having a huge problem in Brazil. Somebody needs to step up and take the time from Palmeiras. Their players are on like the assist list, the goal scoring. It's funny though, they don't have the highest goal scorer in the league. But there's so many players scoring goals for them that they're ahead of them.
Which team that?
Palmeiras.
Palmeiras,
Yeah, they were green and white. They're one of the clubs that's been in residence for many years. They're also the most hated club.
Didn't know that.
Yeah. There were Brazilians who wanted Chelsea to beat them in the Clubs World Cup. Because even Brazilians beat that club. But the teams that
So
were supposed to be performing well,
why are they so hated?
their fan base is hated for what it is. And they're kind of, the Manchester City-ish of the Brazilian league, where an influx of money and also deteriorating of the Brazilian league around them means that they're on top and it's hard for other teams to challenge them. So Santos is in debt, so Paulo can't depend on their academy. Corinthians is just getting back players from Europe. And Atletico Mineiro, who survives off of getting players back from Europe, they're not performing very well despite their best players.
So they are like the bullies now. Well, 30
Maybe,
seconds to
yeah.
go. Let's get to other leagues.
In the J1 League, I'm actually pretty happy right now because the Kashima
Antlers,
Antlers
yeah.
are looking like the best team in the league. And I'm still worried about Tokyo FC and Kawasaki Frontale, but the Japanese league has been very, like, goals, you need to watch at least the goals from the Japanese league because the goals are just exciting.
Okay. Okay. All right, round up. I assume nothing else interesting in other parts of the world.
Oh no, African football has basically wrapped up.
Okay. All right.
So not that one.
All right. Let's go to European transfer window. Anything new? Any additional updates?
Mane has been confirmed to Bayern.
Right.
Which is actually kind of stupid to me, because I don't know why they bought him. But you have players who are younger in his squad.
Okay.
Who all are the same things in Gnabry and Sane, who have won the Champions League for you already. So I don't know what the point of that transfer was. I thought it would have been PSG that fights up with it and pays him a lot of money, which he deserves. But so far, it's still a bunch of rumors. Chelsea and Barca are still back and forth to see who gets Ousmane Dembele. Frankie de Jong, Barcelona are trying to hold on to their life. Eric Ten Hag is now the manager of Manchester United.
Lewandowski gone to Chelsea? Everyone.
Lewandowski?
Mm-hmm.
He hasn't left yet, but he will be leaving by either to Barca. That's the move he wants, but Barca can't afford it, so they're still working that out. There's a chance he goes to Madrid if Benzema leaves, and there's a chance he goes to Chelsea, that Chelsea gets rid of Lukaku.
I think they just wanted to replace an experienced striker, I mean, by sending Mane there, because Lewandowski leaving.
Well, we'll just have to wait and see how the Lewandowski situation turns out. And Maximin from Newcastle, there's a chance he signed for Tottenham or Chelsea.
Okay. Is Pogba still at Man U?
Pogba will either be signing for Juventus. We can't afford the way he's signing, even though they both have agreed that they should be the ones who get him for free from United again.
Mm-hmm.
But the only team that can afford the price tag, and they're signing him for free, but in terms of paying and what he's demanding for wages, the only team that can afford it is PSG, but the only team that wants Pogba in their team is Juventus.
Okay. Well, another interesting UFC fight night coming up this weekend. It will be broadcasted on ESPN. What are you surmising from?
Neil Magny, you need to keep this win streak. That's the biggest guy to need to watch on the card. I know that he's in the main event. He's in the co-main event.
Mm-hmm.
But that's the fight I'm looking forward to. And his opponent, Shavkat Rakhmonov.
Mm-hmm.
He's unbeaten in the UFC. He's a young guy, 15-0. He's been climbing the ladder quietly. But Neil Magny, they're basically feeding an old experienced guy who could possibly get a title shot.
Yes.
With a young guy who he could make his name.
Well, another of the old young pairings that you've been noticing for a while now. Using the veterans as a testing board for the young and upcoming. Very interesting. It is, but it works. Whatever formula UFC uses, it works. So can't complain at all.
Another fight on that card I'm just looking out for is in the bantamweight division between Nathan Maness and Umar Nurmagomedov.
Yes.
Anybody from that Nurmagomedov family tree is dangerous.
Mm.
And Umar is 14-0.
Okay.
In the UFC.
Okay, yes.
But it's two young guys this time because Nathan Maness is 14-1 in the UFC. So these guys could both potentially be title guys eventually.
So this should be very, very interesting, actually. All right. So I say all of that because and maybe even rushing it a bit because I really want to get on to the meat of the matter, what's happening on this weekend in sports. The hottest thing to me in sports this weekend is track and field. And the US, Canada, Jamaica are all having their national trials this weekend. you know, particularly US and Jamaica, who are powerhouses in sprints. You know, it's almost like watching the sprint events at the Olympics or the World Championships when you watch these national trials. And the Jamaica got off, both got off well earlier this evening. So very interesting going already, even though it's just preliminary. I mean, already there have been fireworks. In the men's 100 meter, we're looking at upcoming rising star Oblique Seville from Calabar, former class one champion at our boys and girls championships. Yeah, he is the second fastest in the world this year so far with 9.86 seconds, and has, well, today in his first preliminary race, he jogged 9.98. Ewan Blake, who has been there from, remember, Ewan Blake has been there, was challenging Bolt, beat Bolt in 2012 in our trials for the Olympics, the London Olympics, and came second in the Olympics to Bolt in the 100 and 200 meter. So not anybody to scoff at, really. Second fastest man in the world ever at both 100 and 200 meters. So he is a force to be reckoned with. But since his injury, he has faded and has been struggling. But this evening, he did look pretty promising, ran a 9.92, I think. Long time we don't see him running 9.92, you know, that comfortably, you know. So it was encouraging to see that. And then, of course, you have some other youngsters, Akeem Blake, who has been a standout this season so far, going sub 10 again. Most recently, he did sub 10 in New York, running against US Christian Coleman. Run a 9.95 there. So a lot of promise, I mean, coming from what seemed to be a desert for Jamaica after the retirement of Usain Bolt. It has been very dismal, but now we're getting some more action and some more promise from the men's. Of course, the women, no doubt, that was always fireworks. That has not ceased since the days of Merlin Otte. We have not ceased to create fireworks where the women are concerned. They are reliable. They are our champion. They are medal hopes all the time. And this year, just like last year, is the top three of Shelly-Ann Fraser-Pryce, Sharika Jackson, and Elaine Thompson-Hira, who are leading the charge. And of course, just like last year, it seems like a carbon copy of last year, because last year Shelly-Ann Fraser-Pryce was storming hot about this time, and Elaine Thompson-Hira came on in the latter part of it, peaked at the right time, and turned up well at the Olympics. So far, the script has been going very similarly, because Shelly-Ann Fraser-Pryce is red hot at the moment. She has run 10.6 already, and today, in the preliminary run at Jamaica's national trials, she ran a 10.7 jogging. You know, it was amazing to see her. I mean, very easy, really, 10.7. Elaine Thompson-Hira was pretty easy too, but not as impressive. I mean, her time, I think she did about 11.01 or something like that. I mean, and then Sharika Jackson did a sub 11 too, 10 point, she did 10.9. nine eight, I think, and she was pretty easy as well. So looking forward to see those, and they're going to be knocking heads in the 100 and the 200. So it's going to be fireworks all around, you know. Shelly-Ann Fraser-Pryce, though, she doesn't really have to run the 100 meter, because she is a defending world champion at 100 meter. So possibly you won't see her running the final. Maybe she won't show up for the final. because she doesn't need to really run. But she's just running, I guess, to, you know, keep her legs warm. But let's see how that goes. But Sharika Jackson, early in the season, has been running some shorter sprints, trying to get her start right and her first part of her race right. And it seemed to be paying dividends because she ran a really good time, beat a class field about 2 weeks ago when she defeated Elaine Thompson-Era, Addison Felix, the likes of Dina Asher-Smith out of England, as well as from the Bahamian, the charge from Bahamian, their 400 and 200 meter dynamite. So she really is high on confidence at the moment. You can see it in her run, and I'm expecting her to really show up and do very well in the final. The finals are tomorrow of the 100 meters, men and women. US Open, the US. In the men's side of things, you have Trayvon Bromell, who looked well last year too, leading up to the Olympics, but disappointed. Didn't show up at the Olympics at all. I mean, dropped out early in the Olympics. Surprising, was shocking to everybody. Of course, remember in the Olympics, it was the Italian who really actually won. Italian who won the 100 meter in the Olympics. I mean, that's kind of, to hear an Italian or a European generally winning at a major world championship in the 100 meter is not a frequent thing at all. So yeah, Trayvon Bromell, and then they have also Christian Coleman, former, he was at the last Olympic cycle before last year, and at also the last world championship cycle, he was one of the big guns, you know. He's one of the great hope for the US, but got into drug testing violations and is struggling to come back right now, you know. But they also have, for the 100 meter, they have Kenny Bednarik, another runner there with high prospects. They have so many persons to rely on, though. I mean, US is never short on talent. But they have Fred Curley, Ronnie Baker. So there are lots of talent in their camp. But as talented as they are, they're really not running any great, great times at the moment, you know. I think their top runner this year is Michael Williams, was run 9.86, just like our own Oblique Seville. So they're not really setting the world alight with what they're doing over there. So it's an opportunity. If Oblique Seville can actually continue the same trajectory, it's an opportunity for us to steal the spotlight once more post Usain Bolt. In the women, of course, you have Alia Hobbs, which has been, was a top runner this year for them, 10.83 for the US. You have Tiana Daniels, you have Javian Oliver, you have Jenna Prendini, Cambria Sturgis, lots of talent there. But of course, and you have Tanisha Terry as well. But the starlight for them is Shakara Richardson, who is a social media darling. She gets the attention and she hogs the spotlight. But in a shocker, in a preliminary round of the US 100 meters today, she actually did not qualify for the next round. And that is like, these things keep happening. I mean, keep on getting hyped, keep on trying to push forward and trying to make a name for herself. But at the same time, when it comes to delivering the goods in the key moments, she keeps disappointing. So that was like shocking though. Nobody expected that to happen, but yes, she did not make it. She has not made it to the further rounds in the U.S. Olympic, U.S. World Championship trials. Remember that in the Olympic trials last year, she had won the Olympic trial for the U.S. last year and was set to go to Tokyo, but was disqualified after testing positive for marijuana. And then there was a race after the Olympics with our the top three from Jamaica and her. And she came last in that race, which made big, big waves on social media. So it's very interesting. The other thing I want to mention about the US trials is this youngster by the name of Arianne Knighton, who ran a sensational time in the 200 meters about over a month ago, and has been really, really getting attention there. They feel like he could be the next Usain Bolt of track and field, given his talent. He has been touted for a few years now, and I think he ran 19.49, which was very impressive, and it was like in training, you know. But let's see if that can translate and get to the main stage when the lights are on, lights are brightest. So a lot to look forward to this weekend in track and field. Of course, we'll be giving some predictions on these events coming up. That ends our preview section. Let's move on to Fast Break. Okay, welcome to Fast Break. This week on Fast Break, we'll be looking at the question I have for you, actually, Mario, is we have now completed the NBA season with the Golden State Warriors capturing the title against the Boston Celtics last week in Game 6 of the Best of 7 series. Stephen Curry being named MVP for the first time in his career. New achievement for him, new milestone for him. Previously, we had the NFL season ended earlier this year, and the English Premier League ended just about a month ago. Question I have for you is, which of these three leagues had the more interesting or exciting season from a fan perspective?
The NFL.
NFL? Yeah. Why you say that? You're a bit low.
Yeah, this is coming from a person that was very anti-NFL.
Yes. Right.
And I would give soccer or actual football any excuse to be better than the NFL.
Right.
But the NFL had genuine competition.
Yes.
And that was really the main. Like, if you look at how the NBA finals went, or even the playoffs,
yes,
no one really wowed anybody. Mm-hmm. We saw people choke. We saw people who overperformed, who, when time come for them to actually beat a good team,
They
couldn't do it, like the Mavericks. We saw the Suns choke. We saw the Bucks basically said we're okay with the fact we didn't have. We saw Brooklyn get knocked out in the first round. We saw whatever is happening in Philly. We saw Miami look like a completely different team when it matters most. That it's only Jimmy Butler. So it's like everybody put on their worst performance for the NBA, and the Warriors basically said, let's not shoot ourselves in the foot, just like Real Madrid. And the NFL had genuine, nobody saw Joey Burrow coming. Everybody said that Matt Stafford is overrated. I'm just a stat banner in Detroit. Even your Patriots, I did not expect your Patriots to lose out the rookie quarterback. Even forget, you know, Matthews are a rookie quarterback and he still ended up in the playoffs.
Yeah.
So Belichick is still doing his thing.
Yeah,
The NFL storylines.
Mm-hmm.
Just have been great, right, bro?
Yeah.
Twists and turns, the Browns, Odell, all of that stuff. Baker Mayfield, The Seahawks struggling with Russell's final year. Tom Brady's fake retirement so that he could get some media attention since he's not in the Super Bowl. it was just storyline.
Yeah, yeah.
Even the worst, Deshaun Watson situation.
Mm.
So from the bad and the good, the NFL was just the better product throughout the year.
Yeah, that's undoubted. I mean, I can't even pretend to wage an argument against that. Yeah. I mean, the EPL tried to make it interesting. Man City, I mean, just going away from everybody, but then being hauled back by inconsistency and making it go down to the final day. And even on the final day, giving it some drama too, where there's a chance that they could have lost the title on the final day. I mean, but, you know, yeah, the NFL definitely really had. I mean, I remember even while the NBA was going on, people were asking, what is more interesting, the NBA playoffs or the NFL offseason? You know, so it's amazing. I mean, and the NFL is consistent in that way as well. I mean, it really has found, and especially since the Patrick Mahomes era, since that time, and with the Rams being relevant again, joining the Patriots, and it has become, as you kept mentioning last season, a lot of parity in the league, you know, and so the games are all interesting, hard to predict, you know, that makes for exciting sports. So that's undeniable. Let's hop over to Super Mario Adventure. Yes, what do you have for us this week?
Fans, the world of sports has always been on the fear, but such is life. You can work very hard, but the person who has talent does somehow perform better than you. So sports really teaches you from a young age that said that, like, it's life's not fair. And even if you didn't end up making it in sports, sports taught that lesson very fast, that you have guys who are talented, you have guys who work very hard, and then you have guys who are talented who work very hard. And you realize that there's also guys who were basically given the opportunity, even if they've proven that they can't capitalize upon it and will always get a chance due to either who they know or who was their parents. For example, Zinedine Zidane's sons all grew up in Real Madrid academy. None of them have really lived up to even being good players, but they get opportunity after opportunity. Let's use an example: Enzo Zidane, the oldest of Zidane's sons. He was signed by a second division French club because Zidane was an investor.
Okay, you have a minute. Yeah,
and you look at LeBron James' situation, where he basically said, yes, coming to the end of my career, I want to play with my son. Like, you don't think teams are going to trade or use their draft pick on Bronny James just so that LeBron will come here?
Wow. Amazing. You know, look at... And then you have Steph Curry and his father, who was a player too. You have Gary Payton and his son, who is now playing for the Warriors as well. So there are definitely lots of examples. But a father actually playing with his son on the same team, I don't think I've ever heard of that. So that would be a...
Oh, Rivaldo did it. Okay. From Brazil.
Okay.
They did it for Internacional, one of the legendary clubs in Brazil. Yeah, but at the end of the day, it was at the end of Rivaldo's career, and it was on that good side. And his son didn't really, wasn't a really great player either. So I guess it would be different if we saw, I think it was Ken Griffey and Ken Griffey Jr. It was the only time both players were successful. Yeah, so, and I don't even want baseball, so I don't even know how much about it.
Right. So, interesting, you know, I mean, and it may become something which happens more and more because with players' longevity, playing older, you know, and younger athletes getting into the game earlier, then it does provide opportunity for that to happen more, you know. So, yes, interesting thing to keep an eye on. Another interesting facet being added to the world of sports. Okay, that do it for Super Mario Adventures this week. Time for overtime. Yeah, welcome to overtime. Overtime, where we get into our predictions and we go into overdrive. And the predictions here for this week, for the UFC, the main card, the fight on the main card there. What is your prediction for that, Mario?
This one is hard to predict. I just don't know which way we'll go. That's the thing about this fight, is that I'm more interested to watch the fight because neither of these guys are the first to go.
We're talking about actually Gamrat and Sarukian, right?
Oh yes, like I said, neither of them are really impressed with like some special that mold me throughout their career. Mm-hmm. So it's very difficult to predict how this fight is going to go. I'm really just watching it to see who steps up and like gives themselves like a name or does something that puts them in fanfare.
Mm-hmm.
So that's really why I'm watching this card, just to discover someone. I'm really watching Neil Madden.
But you have to make a call. So if you have to make a call, who are you going to call?
I would just have to go with Sarukian.
Mm-hmm.
And I would just have to give him that.
Okay. All right. As we mentioned earlier, the Jamaica National Trials 2022 is happening at the moment this weekend. And predictions for the marquee, the Blue Ribbon event, 100 meter finals, which takes place tomorrow, Friday, June 24, Friday evening. Now, Oblique Seville will take the title, hopefully in a 9.7, maybe 9.8 low region. Ewan Blake will be second, and Akeem Blake, the youngster who has showed up this season, will take third. In the women's event, my prediction is for Shelly-Ann Fraser-Pryce to take that. Second, I have Sharika Jackson, and third, Elaine Thompson here. I don't think it necessarily play out the same way at the World Championships, though, because I think Elaine Thompson is peaking, trying to peak then, not now. What Shelly-Ann Fraser-Pryce may be trying to do this season, not to make the same mistake like last season, is trying to peak twice. Perhaps she hasn't peaked yet. Maybe this is just her on her way to her peak, which would be even more scary.
It really seems like she's stepping on the gas, though.
Well,
like she's just like leaving it all out here. Might be seeing a retired Shelly-Ann after the World Championship.
Yeah, but you
whether she'll win or not.
But you want to peak at the World Championship, you know, so you really don't want to get giving your best right now. But I really don't think she's doing it, you know. I think that this is the way she runs. She runs out of the block very fast, and then she just maintains that speed. I fail to believe that after having seemed to peak too early last year, for that her to do the same thing this year again. That her handlers would definitely want for her to peak at the right time, you know, try to tweak it a bit so she can actually peak in the right moment. So we'll see how it goes. But if this is not her peak, and if she has lots more to go in terms of her training, how the training schedule is and how they are timing her, then it could be scary. We could be looking at a new world record, you know, given how she's doing, which would be very welcome. I mean, I think both she and Elaine, both herself and Elaine recognize that they have an opportune moment to challenge the world record. The world record, which by Florence Griffith Joyner, which we all thought was just, you know, impossible. But when you get start running 10.6 and, you know, I'm looking to get to 10.5, then you start thinking 10.49 is possible, which is the world record. So, yeah, I think that they have an opportunity and they recognize they have the opportunity, and their handlers must be ensuring that they're fine-tuning them to peak at the right time to make ensure that they can get that record. So let us see what happens. Now, if I were Shelly and if I realize I'm in good form, maybe I would just maybe go for the world record right now. you never know. But you can't tell what's gonna happen a month from now or 2 weeks from now. I mean, you'd perfectly want to happen in the world championship, but maybe you have to just run when you have the opportunity to. And if you're in that form, just run, you know. So let's say go. But I expect Shelly-Ann Fraser-Pryce to win and Sherika Jackson to be second. Because based on just where they are at the moment, I wouldn't be surprised if Sherika Jackson beat Elaine Thompson again, like last year, in the national trials at O National Stadium, where the order was Fraser-Pryce, Jackson, and Thompson Hero. However, when he went to the World Championship, of course, that script was flipped, you know, and Thompson Hero showed up as she has done in the last two Olympics cycles. So that's what I expect. Over in the US trials, I expect Aaliyah Hobbs to show up for the 100 meter, especially with Shakar Richards out. I expect Aaliyah Hobbs to take it there. Perhaps who would I have in second and third? It would be maybe because of experience, I would maybe put Prandini in there. And there is somebody else. Who else I would put over there? Tiana Daniels? Yeah, maybe. Well, no, Cambria Sturgis is an athlete where I'm very keen on. So I think I would put Aaliyah Hobbs from Cambria Sturgis from Jenna Prendine. That's what I would do. And in the 100 meter men, I'm definitely going to give it here to Trayvon Bramhill. I don't know if he can carry it over to the World Championship. I think he will take it away from Fred Curley and Christian Coleman. That's how I would call it in there. 200 meters is going to be a humdinger because you have the rising star, Arian Knighton, the next superstar that they are hoping for the U.S. in the sprints. And he'll be taking on the defending world champion and Olympic champion. So that would be quite a race to look forward to. That is actually Noah Lyles he'd be taking on. So looking forward to that, you know, to see how that turns out. Of course, the defending Olympic champion is young man out of Canada there. Andre DeGrasse, around the 200 meter at the Olympics. But interesting to see how things play out. So that's how we have it here for the our predictions for this week. It's our final show for this season. It has been great, our first season. And we take a month's break and resume start the new season August. That may not be a weekly. We may time that to when we have major items to talk about. But let's see how the formatting goes for next season. But it's been a great season joining and you're tuning in for the One Love Sports Show. And must give my gratitude to the Rastaman Mario for definitely adding great content and great analysis and always lots of content from off the not so beaten path, you know. You're not going to get this content anywhere else. So I must show my gratitude for Mario in. I don't think he's actually putting in the work. He just enjoys doing this, you know. So it just comes to him effortlessly, you know, and without even trying. So hats off to you.
Yeah, it's kind of mental vacation.
It's kind of what?
It's kind of a mental vacation.
Yeah. It's
a new challenge, actually. Yes. Like I said, our Loop Sports podcast is gone and gone all the time.
Yes. So, so this kind of rapid fire presentation is a different kind of challenge for him. Okay, that's it for this episode and this season. It's been great having you. Remember to stay safe and keep active. And remember always, it's one love every time.